I'm proud that you survived that hell.
One begins by understanding that we are dreaming, both on a personal and a collective level. Our emotions are wonderful tools. Being in touch with them allows us to experience life to the fullest. When we are aware, our emotions can teach us a variety of things. They can show us what we like and don't like, what's really important to us as opposed to what isn't. And they can provide a wonderful guide to discovering the work we are meant to do in the dream of the planet. For instance, when you are faced with an important decision and you are unsure of which course of action to take, one thing that can help you is to focus on how you feel about the options presented instead of being consumed with the stories your narrators are spouting. As you get to know yourself better, this type of discernment becomes a very effective tool for recognizing what you really want. Your emotions can also show you where you are still holding on to attachments and reveal any remaining fears and self-doubts from past domestications that you haven't yet released. Sometimes you won't even realize you have an attachment until an event triggers an emotional reaction in you. Anytime you feel a burst of anger, frustration, guilt, shame, or any number of other negative emotions, that's your cue to look within and see what is happening. Where is this feeling coming from? When have I experienced this before? What is the source of this feeling? Once you are aware of what's happening inside, you are able to calm yourself and stop the downward spiral before you lose control. While anger is a common emotional reaction, it is by no means the only one. Shutting down, being defensive or passive-aggressive, feeling guilty or remorseful, or any unhelpful reactions in between are additional ways in which you can react emotionally and lose awareness of your authentic self. Whether your tendency is to be consumed with anger and rage or to sulk silently in the corner, the underlying cause of all these emotional reactions is always fear. When fear overtakes you and sparks an emotional reaction, your attachments and domestications are now running the show. Becoming a master of self is about noticing when you begin to have an emotional reaction and asking yourself immediately, "What am I afraid of?" The quicker you can identify and release the fear, the faster you become regrounded in the authentic self. Any emotional reaction you experience is yours, not anyone else's. And consequently, it is here to teach you something about yourself. The master of self sees this as an opportunity to learn and grow. And in doing so, you can deal with these emotions before they lead to an outburst that causes harm to your personal dream or the dream of the planet. An emotional reaction leaves you stuck, unable to move forward until you look more deeply at whatever the emotion is trying to tell you. There will always be those moments when you can't walk away, when you just have to deal with the person or situation at hand right then. Can you stay grounded in your authentic self and show the other person respect? As a master of self who wants to maintain control of his or her will and have unconditional love for all in the dream of the planet, you can stay balanced much more easily if you find out why this person has the unique ability to provoke a reaction in you. Think about it. Of all the people in the entire world, This person can push your buttons maybe better than anybody else. This is a very special gift they are offering you, and freedom awaits as soon as you can find out why that is. It's possible that the person or situation provokes a deep memory of someone attempting to domesticate you and you resisting. If you can connect the dots and see that the reason this person bothers you is based on a past experience rather than the current situation, you have begun to eliminate their power to upset you, putting your will back into your control. Everyone is our mirror. And our reflection of things we don't like about ourselves is most vivid in those who have the same qualities. You may see a piece of yourself in this other person, even if you don't realize it. Whatever characteristic you see in another that you don't like is often a characteristic you see in some degree in yourself. This can be a hard truth to swallow at first, but it is also a useful tool to dissolve any negative internal reaction that occurs when dealing with someone else, because it allows you to see him or her as yourself. When you encounter someone who has an uncanny ability to provoke a reaction in you, it may be because you have an attachment to a belief that you feel needs to be defended. When you are very attached to your beliefs, conflicts are almost certain to arise. There's a big difference between defending a belief that protects your physical being and a belief that simply supports a position your ego holds dear. Knowing the difference between the two, as well as your commitment to respecting another's right to believe differently than you, is a way to release your attachment to a belief grounded in egotism and view the other person's viewpoint with respect. The next time you're in a situation and you begin to feel angry, defensive, guilty, sad, or anything similar arising, the first step is to spot the emotion. Admit it exists and accept that these feelings are inside you. Just identifying, admitting, and accepting the feelings often has a calming effect and begins the process of releasing them. What is this emotion here to show you? What are you trying to control, and why? A master of self recognizes that any negative emotions that are arising are really a gift, an opportunity for discovery, as no one else is responsible for your emotional reactions except you. This last sentence bears repeating. No one else is responsible for your emotional reactions except you. Others can say and do anything they like, but what happens inside you is only the result of what you are thinking and feeling. Sometimes you may find yourself in a situation where you have a negative emotion that you can't immediately identify the origin of. And even when you can, you are not able to release it because you can feel the emotion building. In those cases, restrain yourself from doing or saying anything at that moment if that is an option. Then remove yourself from the situation until you have more clarity. Is what I'm about to say coming from me or from my domesticated beliefs? If your statement is trying to impose a condition on the other, then I encourage you to look within and find new words. If you are coming from a place of awareness, whatever words come out of your mouth will be the right ones. Remember, coming from a place of unconditional love does not mean we say things that the other person will agree with or enjoy, but in those moments, we remember that we cannot control the other person's perception or reaction. We only have control over ourselves. When the other person no longer respects you, they will try to subjugate you to their will. To maintain respect for yourself, it is often wise to walk away before your emotions take over, and you do or say something you will later regret. A martial arts master will tell you that your mind is your most powerful weapon and your first line of defense. It takes discipline to use a fist to defend your physical body and not be tempted to become the tyrant of aggression. Always be aware of what lies on the other side of self-respect. The alternative is to allow your emotions to control you and to lash out in anger, overreact with defensiveness, or anywhere in between. The result of this type of behavior is always the same. You create suffering for yourself and others in the dream of the planet. Being a master of self does not mean we are robots without feelings, or that we never take the bait and react emotionally. But the downward spiral ends the moment you surrender to the truth. When you find the true source of the emotion, you can use that knowledge as an instrument of transformation. In the dream of the planet, people will often not act the way you want them to, or the way you think they should. They will not always agree with your ideas or your beliefs. This begs the question, how do you react when others don't behave the way you'd like them to? Do you try to impose your will and subjugate them to your point of view? Or are you able to step back and respect their point of view? Think of any recent conflict you've had with another person. Any instance where you and someone else had opposing viewpoints. In this conflict, what belief were you trying to subjugate the other person to? This is not an evaluation of whether a belief is right or wrong. The purpose is to become aware of what the belief is. Do you know where this belief came from? Is this a belief you want to maintain? There are no right or wrong answers here. It's fine if the belief is true for you, and it's fine if it's not. The point is to know so that you don't continue to fight for a belief you no longer believe in, as this is domestication in action. How did you treat the other person when they didn't agree with you? Did you respect their point of view, or did you try to coerce them into seeing things your way? What do you think the other person's belief is? Can you see another perspective on the same situation? Can you see how the other person's belief is true for them? As a master of self, you know avoiding all conflict is impossible. So when conflicts arise, your job is to look within, see what is true for you in the moment, and find a way to honor your own beliefs while simultaneously respecting the choices and beliefs of others. Perceive the world from a different point of view, whether you agree with it or not. And notice if your own attachments are clouding your view. In other words, could this person be right about any of their points? Feel your emotions. Notice any negative emotions that come up for you. If these emotions arise for you, finding their origin is where you will find your gift. I look within at all I have accomplished, of how much I enjoy doing it all. This allows me to enjoy my own craft, to enjoy the opportunity I have to do something I love to do, and to evolve my skills with my passion. Sometimes there needs to be a certain amount of distance between you and the event before you can see the truth of this teaching. But if you look closely at the situations in your past when you didn't get what you wanted, you'll likely find that you got exactly what you needed instead. A master of self finds the inner strength to embrace this principle with an open heart. When you live your life from a mindset of trust rather than a place of fear, the result is that you stop trying to force or control the people and situations that are happening around you, and instead surrender to whatever life brings. This doesn't mean you don't try to change things when it's within your power to do so. But as a master of self, you are adept at identifying the situations that are beyond your control. And in those instances, you trust and surrender to whatever the moment brings, because you know you will receive exactly what you need. You know that the place for competition and opponents exists in games only, not in daily life. You no longer compare yourself to others, nor see them as competitors. You simply do your best, and your passion will be evident in your efforts. Success is the natural consequence of doing something you love to do. The idea that you are not enough is an ancient one. The notion that somehow you are flawed, broken, unworthy, or at best, simply not enough, as it has been postulated in myths and legends since the beginning of recorded history. I find it amazing how many people in the dream of the planet have been domesticated into believing that they have some sort of inherent internal deficiency. The combination of these untruths creates an environment where conditional love thrives through the vehicles of comparison and competition, and the result is the fear that you will never be enough, and that you will never have enough. Of all the false ideas that you have been domesticated to, the idea that you are not enough may be the most damaging. You are not flawed, broken, damaged, or irredeemable. You are more than enough. You are perfect and complete exactly as you are. Much of the suffering you experience is self-inflicted, and it can be traced back to believing this untruth. This feeling of unworthiness is the primary reason you withhold unconditional love for yourself. The most effective thing you can do to bring about change in your life is to let this flawed idea go. As children, we all had role models or people we looked up to and wanted to be like. In many cases, our first role models were our parents or primary caregivers. And that gave way to siblings, teachers, sports figures, superheroes, and even friends. As we grew up, our role models often broadened to include artists, scholars, humanitarians, political leaders, or spiritual teachers. In all cases, we saw qualities in these people that we wanted in ourselves, and often endeavored to emulate them as a result. This is a wonderful way in which admirable qualities are passed from one personal dream to another. And yet, something that can be used in a positive way can also become a negative. In this case, you can begin to compare yourself to your role model and use their positive example as a tool to chide or whip yourself for not being more like them. You create conditions on your self-love based on a desire to be like someone else. When you catch yourself comparing your life to that of a role model and then admonishing yourself for not being more like them, that's your cue that the fog has crept back in and clouded your vision. Instead of comparing yourself to others and deciding that you are insufficient, use your role model's examples as motivation to bring the qualities you admire in them to fruition in your own everyday life. Another trap related to role models occurs when you mistakenly believe that a single role model or teacher has all of your answers. A situation like this can often occur on a spiritual path, especially when you first start to wake up and emerge from the smoke and fog. Admittedly, depending on the level of your prior domestication and attachment, it may seem like a role model or teacher does have all your answers, as you are just starting to find your own way. But as the initial bud of your awakening blossoms, you soon realize that in reality, you have all your own answers, and any role models or teachers you engage with are only there to point you on the way back home to yourself. You know that on the deepest level, everything you need is already inside you. As a master of self, you are forging your own path, creating your own journey to your own inner evolution. In the end, you understand that you are unique in your experience of life, because no one else knows life from your perception but you. It is liberating to become aware that you only control your own will. And this knowledge allows you to enjoy everything you experience and do. The harmony and peace comes when you realize that there is no need to work so hard to be someone you think you should be. You are already perfectly yourself. The I am is an experience of life, not a symbol or model that you have to attain. In this way, the inner war is over again and again and again. As a master of self, peace reigns. Everyone gets exactly what they need in every moment, and this includes you. Look back at the list of your role model's qualities. Now write your name at the top of this list. You possess all of these qualities. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to recognize them in others. You may not have the skill of your role model in certain areas, but you have the ability and the potential to forge your own way if you choose to work toward that. In the end, you know that you are already perfect and complete, more than enough. And you will always receive exactly what you need in every moment. While you are grateful for the lessons you have learned from others, you now have the confidence to walk your own path because you know that everything you need is already inside of you. Because you recognize the suffering that domestication and attachment cause in yourself and others, you no longer try to control those around you with anger, guilt, or sadness in order to force them to believe or act the way you think they should. You respect everyone's ability to make their own decisions, which means you don't project onto them a mask of who you think they should be. Because you accept yourself for who you are now able to accept every other person for who they are. In those rare moments when you do slide and fall into a trap, as a master of self, you are able to regain your awareness and recover quickly. You know that you are doing the best you can at every moment. You no longer need to distort the world around you to fit your perception. You know who you are. And as a result, you can act and speak with complete confidence and without apology. Thus, your word becomes impeccable.
I shall pass this way but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Use what language you will, said Ralph Waldo Emerson. You can never say anything but what you are. When we are not engaged in thinking about some definite problem, we usually spend about 95% of our time thinking about ourselves. one of the most neglected virtues of our daily existence is appreciation. What applies to professionals applies doubly to workers in offices, shops and factories, and our families and friends. In our interpersonal relations, we should never forget that all our associates are human beings and hunger for appreciation. It is the legal tender that all souls enjoy. Try leaving a friendly trail of little sparks of gratitude on your daily trips. You will be surprised how they will set small flames of friendship that will be rose beacons on your next visit. Hurting people not only does not change them, it is never called for. Emerson said, "Every man I meet is my superior in some way. In that, I learn of him." Let's cease thinking of our accomplishments, our wants. Let's try to figure out the other person's good points. Then forget flattery. Give honest, sincere appreciation. Be hearty in your approbation and lavish in your praise, and people will cherish your words and treasure them and repeat them over a lifetime. Repeat them years after you have forgotten them. He who can do this has the whole world with him. He who cannot walks a lonely way. Every act you have ever performed since the day you were born was performed because you wanted something. Here is one of the best bits of advice ever given about the fine art of human relationships. "If there is any one secret of success," said Henry Ford, "it lies in the ability to get the other person's point of view and see things from that person's angle as well as from your own." That is so good, I want to repeat it. If there is any one secret of success, it lies in the ability to get the other person's point of view and see things from that person's angle as well as from your own. That is so simple, so obvious, that anyone ought to see the truth of it at a glance. Yet 90% of the people on this earth ignore it 90% of the time. The world is full of people who are grabbing and self-seeking. So the rare individual who unselfishly tries to serve others has an enormous advantage. He has little competition. People who can put themselves in the place of other people, who can understand the workings of their minds, need never worry about what the future has in store for them. It is the individual who is not interested in his fellow men who has the greatest difficulties in life and provides the greatest injury to others. It is from among such individuals that all human failures spring. Yet I know, and you know, people who blunder through life trying to wigwag other people into becoming interested in them. Actions speak louder than words, and a smile says, "I like you, you make me happy, I'm glad to see you." That's why dogs make such a hit. They're so glad to see us that they almost jump out of their skins. So naturally, we're glad to see them. There's far more information in a smile than a frown. That's why encouragement is a much more effective teaching device than punishment. The effect of a smile is powerful, even when it's unseen. You must have a good time meeting people if you expect them to have a good time meeting you. Action seems to follow feeling, but really action and feeling go together. And by regulating the action, which is under the more direct control of the will, we can indirectly regulate the feeling, which is not. Thus the sovereign voluntary path to cheerfulness, if our cheerfulness be lost, is to sit up cheerfully and to act and speak as if cheerfulness were already there. Everybody in the world is seeking happiness, and there's only one sure way to find it. That is, by controlling your thoughts. Happiness doesn't depend on outward conditions, it depends on inner conditions. It isn't what you have, or who you are, or where you are, or what you're doing that makes you happy or unhappy. It is what you think about it. Whenever you go out of doors, draw the chin in, carry the crown of the head high, and fill the lungs to the utmost. Drink in the sunshine, greet your friends with a smile, and put soul into every hand clasp. Try to fix firmly in your mind what you would like to do, and then, without veering off direction, you will move straight to the goal. Keep your mind on the great and splendid things you would like to do, and then, as the days go gliding away, you will find yourself unconsciously seizing upon the opportunities that are required for the fulfillment of your desire. Picture in your mind the able, earnest, useful person you desire to be, and the thought you hold is hourly transforming you into that particular individual. Thought is supreme. Preserve a right mental attitude, the attitude of courage, frankness, and good cheer. To think rightly is to create. We become like that on which our hearts are fixed. Your smile is a messenger of your goodwill. Your smile brightens the lives of all who see it. To someone who has seen a dozen people frown, scowl, or turn their faces away, your smile is like the sun breaking through the clouds. Especially when that someone is under pressure from his bosses, his customers, his teachers, or parents, or children, a smile can help him realize that all is not hopeless, that there is joy in the world. It costs nothing but creates much. It enriches those who receive without impoverishing those who give. It happens in a flash, and the memory of it sometimes lasts forever. None are so rich they can get along without it, and none so poor but are richer for its benefits. It creates happiness in the home, fosters goodwill in the business, and is the countersign of friends. It is rest to the weary, daylight to the discouraged, sunshine to the sad, and nature's best antidote for trouble. Yet it cannot be bought, begged, borrowed, or stolen. For it is something that is no earthly good to anybody until it is given away. Nobody needs a smile so much as those who have none left to give. No man who is resolved to make the most of himself can spare time for personal contention. Still less can he afford to take the consequences, including the vitiation of his temper and the loss of self-control. Yield larger things to which you show no more than equal rights, and yield lesser ones, though clearly your own. Better give our path to a dog than be bitten by him in contesting for the right. Even killing the dog would not cure the bite. And the way to develop the best that is in a person is by appreciation and encouragement. There's only one way under high heaven to get the best of an argument, and that is to avoid it.
There's something inside me, I don't know what it is. I think of myself as an exile, a pilgrim on this earth. What I see, nobody else sees, and sometimes it frightens me. I think I'm losing my mind.
Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. This living with a quiet mind creates a state of pure bliss that comes from being entirely in the moment. Truly nothing matters but the present, because it is the only place where life can express itself, when you are completely engaged in the now. Some people experience it while they are exercising, consciously creating, being in nature, making love. It's the moment when the mind and the body are in complete awareness of the experience of life. It can also be said that it is during these moments that we often reach a pure state of unconditional love for everything and everyone, including ourselves. While living full-time in this state of pure bliss is a goal for many, most will agree it is easier said than done, especially if we don't live isolated away from the world. Surrounded by other people, we choose who we will interact and engage with, and it's often in these interactions that the trouble begins. The main function of the mind is to dream, or to perceive and to project information. The personal dream is the unique reality created by every individual, a manifestation of the relationship between mind and body. And intent is the energy that animates both. As our shared knowledge and experience mingle together, we co-create the dream of the planet, which is the combination of every single being in the world's personal dream. While we live individual dreams based on our individual perceptions, the dream of the planet is the manifestation of our shared intentions. If there is harmony in the personal dream, then there is a constant opportunity for harmony with the dream of the planet. Solitude can be a great tool for healing and communion with oneself, but it is our interactions with others that will allow us to thrive and enjoy an active life. But engaging in the dream means you will likely develop preferences for certain potential paths, or in other words, you will have wants and desires. When you become too attached to those desires and they aren't fulfilled, the result is that you suffer.
I can't do anything else, and believe me, I've tried.
You become a master of self when you can engage the dream of the planet and everyone in it without losing sight of your authentic self. When you engage with the dream of the planet with the awareness and remembrance that it's only a dream, you are able to move freely, liberated from the chains of attachment and domestication. Most people not only attach to their wants and desires as they relate to material things, but also to their beliefs and ideas. Although an attachment is something that can occur naturally in the moment, it becomes unhealthy when you lose the ability to detach from it when the moment ends or when the belief no longer reflects the truth. In many ways, attachments to beliefs are far more destructive than attachments to external items, because beliefs and ideas are much harder to spot and let go of. Domestication is the system of control in the dream of the planet. This system of reward and punishment, or domestication, is used to control our behavior. The result of domestication is that many of us give up who we really are in exchange for who we think we should be. And consequently, we end up living a life that is not our own. Learning how to spot and release our domestication and reclaiming who we really are in the process is a hallmark of a master of self. When you become so domesticated by or attached to a belief or idea that you can't let go of it, your choices narrow until any notion of choice is really an illusion. Your beliefs now define you, and they will dictate your choice. You are no longer the master of your own self, as your domestication and attachments are controlling you. As a result, you will engage with others and yourself in a way that does not serve your highest good, and it now shapes your personal dream. If you choose to engage with the world, avoiding all traps is virtually impossible. However, when you become aware that you are falling into a trap, the simple act of noticing it allows you to begin to regain control. You can let go of whatever you attach to as quickly as your will dictates.
Sometimes I feel so far away from everything.
It may seem counterintuitive, but you choose to let go in order to be in control. Doing so is the mastery of self in action. As a master of self, you can have relationships with others, even those who disagree with you, while still being grounded in your authentic self. You're able to maintain your free will and respect the free will of others. Knowing that others see you in a specific way gives you choices when you engage with them. And your awareness of that allows you to stay true to yourself and not give in to the temptation to take on others' definitions of who you are. It is too easy to internalize what is happening around you or to forget that it is all a dream. Becoming a master of self is about maintaining awareness of your center while you are interacting with the dream of the planet, remembering that it's all a dream. You realize that you don't have to put on any image that others project onto you because you know it is not your reality. In this way, you free yourself from the drama and self-inflicted suffering created by so many people.
Turn your heart away from things visible and turn yourself to things invisible.
A moment of clarity without any action is just a thought that passes in the wind. But a moment of clarity followed by an action is a pivotal moment in our life.